So it's good for us to see the difference between false worth and true worth, the contrast between the two. False worth is associated with self-seeking for personal glory. This is manifested in pride and disregard for the well-being of others. False worth arises in the context when we are self-seeking, we desire personal glory, power, abilities, and authority. In that context, pride manifests itself readily. We are concerned about what we want to get. We disregard the well-being of others. We saw that the most serious example of this is Satan, the evil one. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be praised, to be honored, and to be worshipped. In contrast, true worth is associated with self-giving for what is morally good. This is manifested in humility and divine love. The perfect example of this is the Lord Jesus. When we pursue true worth, we are prepared to give ourselves for what is truly good. That is our concern. We want that which is morally good. When we pursue that direction, we are prepared to humble ourselves in whatever form necessary to attain that goal. We appreciate divine love. We recognize that love brings about true quality in our being. To develop that love, we are prepared to humble ourselves. Some people think that humility is manifested when you have sinned. You acknowledge that you have sinned, you confess your weaknesses, and you say, "I am not good." That is humility. That is true. That is one aspect in which humility can be manifested in us. However, we know that Lord Jesus never sinned. And yet, he's the perfect example of humility. Ultimately, humility is an attitude of heart. It doesn't require that we must sin and then we can become humble. The Lord Jesus never sinned, but he was perfectly humble because of love. He was prepared to do anything, go through any situation, however humiliating it may be, if it were good and right before God, if it would bring about something meaningful and positive. Is this what we want in our lives? We see that many people pursue false worth because it feels good. We need to beware. If we want to feel good, we will pursue false worth, following the spirit of the world and the evil one. The world provides us many things to enjoy that we can feel good, including position, power, status, and authority. When we do that, our moral being will become corrupt, evil, and ugly. In contrast, if we want true worth, we must learn to be truly good. Following the Lord Jesus and becoming like Him, our moral being will become good and beautiful and filled with the life of God. It's a choice that we make. What is it that we want? What is the basis upon which we want to live our lives? If we want to feel good, we will not become good. If we want to be truly good, we'll pursue what is meaningful and right before God, and we will become good in our character, in our being. Probably the most well-known verse in the scriptures is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In this verse, we are often impressed with the fact that we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, because God sent His only begotten Son into this world to save us. When we look at this verse and seek to appreciate the heart of it, we see that this verse tells us God so loved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We can benefit so much from what God has done for us because God so loved us. That is the greatness of God. That is the glory of God. He loved us so much. It is a self-giving love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved in order to save us from perishing. God loved in order to give us eternal life. However, it may not be so easy for us to appreciate that love. We can have some idea, but we may not appreciate it so deeply. God, in His wisdom, sent His only begotten Son into this world to live in this world as a man. And as the perfect man, the Lord Jesus shows to us what love is. By the way He lived His life, not just in the event of the cross, but throughout His life. The self-giving love in the heart of God is seen and manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. He who has seen me has seen the Father. The Lord Jesus came to manifest the character of God, to help us understand who God is. John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus was speaking to His disciples, helping them to understand what love is. He said, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus was not referring merely to physical death. Going through physical death for the sake of your friends. He was referring to giving up his life for his friends. Laying down his life for his friends. The way he lived his life and what was manifested at the cross helps us to understand the meaning of giving up his life. He gave up his rights. He suffered. He was prepared to take our place in the wrath and the judgment of God and continue to love us in the midst of all that we have done that is displeasing to God. He did that because he is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He cares so much for his sheep that he's prepared to go through that suffering to protect the sheep, to help the sheep, to bring about meaningful, positive welfare for the sheep. It's also helpful for us to understand that the love in the Lord Jesus is a love with many different facets of quality. For example, it is not a love without discernment. The love of the Lord Jesus is a discerning love. He differentiates. He recognizes what is good and bad. He does not simply allow himself to give himself without understanding the direction, the meaning, and the context. How deeply he would associate with us, how close he would be to us in the context of his love, is dependent upon the meaning and the quality in our hearts. John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. John chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning men, for he himself knew what was in men. He knew all men. He understood what was in the heart of men, the different people that he met. There were many who believed in his name, many who were eager to be close to him, many who acknowledged him. But the Lord Jesus was not entrusting himself to them. He differentiated those who were sincere from those who were not. He differentiated those who were superficial from those who were deep. He differentiated those who were prepared to humble themselves from those who were seeking to glorify themselves. If we want to develop true worth in our being, we should learn to develop love with discernment, to love that which is morally and spiritually good, and to concentrate on that wherever it may be found. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians that their love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Love is not basically an emotion. You are very attached to someone emotionally. Love is a quality when it's associated with real knowledge and discernment. We approve the things that are excellent, morally good, and it is filled with the fruit of righteousness. Love must have a moral meaning in it for it to be of true quality. Such a love will have a very powerful impact upon those who desire to walk in this path. The Apostle Paul himself appreciated very deeply the love of the Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The Apostle Paul was prepared to go through a very difficult life, to learn to live a life being crucified with Christ. The meaning of Christ alive in him. He was prepared to live that way because he benefited from the example of the Lord Jesus and from his sacrifice for him. He appreciated the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. It was a self-giving love, and it drew Paul to the Lord Jesus to learn to live likewise. The love of the Lord Jesus was so deep, so self-giving, that we can see that in the midst of intense suffering, he continued to love, and it manifested in a forgiving spirit, even towards those who hated him, even those who sought to destroy his life. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The Lord Jesus was suffering crucifixion because of the sins of mankind. The people crucified him, and yet, in the midst of his suffering because of their sins, he prayed to God to forgive them. He said, "For they do not know what they are doing." Of course, the Lord Jesus knew that the people were sinful. They knew what they were doing, in the sense that it was wrong for them to crucify him. They were not innocent. There was a wrong attitude in their hearts. That is why they did not receive him. They rejected him. But the Lord Jesus was kind and compassionate. Although that was wrong on their part, he was also conscious that the evil one was powerfully at work. The evil one was deceiving the people. The Lord Jesus was kind towards them. He gave room for their failures and asked God to forgive them. God can forgive us because the Lord Jesus took our place. The Lord Jesus could pray, "Father, forgive them," because he took our place, our suffering, and our punishment. But it is only in the context when we are truly repentant, when we recognize where we have gone wrong and are prepared to change, that we can benefit from his love. We see also love and concern in the midst of his suffering. In the passage in John chapter 19, verses 23 to 27, we have a description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. In that context, there was standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. When we are in the midst of suffering, it's easy for us to be preoccupied with our suffering. This will be especially so if we think that we are unfairly treated. We can become very bitter and very angry. In the midst of unfair treatment, in the midst of his suffering, the Lord Jesus was not concentrating on his suffering. He was considering his mother. He said, "Woman, behold your son." In this context, "your son" was not a reference to himself, but to his disciple, and it is likely a reference to John. Verse 27 tells us, "Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.'" The Lord Jesus was instructing John, his disciple, while he was hanging on the cross in pain, telling John to take care of Mary. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. This is love of a very, very high degree, a self-giving love.